introduce your wife, because I know she's the better half.
Yes, she is. Good morning, friends and family. How y'all doing?
Good
morning. Man, it's good to see y'all in the house today. It's good always to see my beautiful wife. You keeping me out of trouble. I got to introduce her, you know what I mean? It's normal, man. My beautiful wife, Dominique Jones, is here. Yeah. We been married for 10 years and going. Good, bad, ugly, ups, downs, triumphs, victories, failures, man. She never left me, and I'm a bonehead. I am a clown, man, and she's still with me through the grace of God, man. And marriage is a beautiful thing. My kids are probably back in your youth group tearing it up. Sanaya, Savion Jones is 9, Sanaya's 3, and my daughter Chloe is 1. So we have 3 beautiful children. And Pastor Joe, man, just an amazing guy. You guys have an amazing pastor, amazing leader. And, man, we connected, and it was just natural, man, very organic. And it's a pleasure to be here, man. Man, God gave me an amazing message, something that's been stirring my heart up for a while. And he wants me to share it with you guys, man. And I hope you guys are ready. Are you ready to say, yeah?
Yeah.
It's going to be a blessing to you, man. It's going to be a blessing. Do we have the slides and stuff ready in the back? Sweet. Title of my message is called, Who Am I? Everybody say, Who Am I?
Who am I,
man? Isn't that a profound question? Isn't that a real question? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Who am I? Have you ever looked in the mirror and asked yourself that question? Just looked at yourself. Who am I? That's a beautiful question. That's a hard question. That's a tough question to find answers to. And I've been blessed, man. I've been tremendously blessed. I've been walking with the Lord for about 10 years now. The first few years were pretty weird. I don't know if anybody else experienced that. The first few years of meeting Christ, coming to salvation, and kind of walking that out. It's kind of weird. You know what I mean? I've been walking for about 10 years and been blessed to be surrounded by some people that saw things in me, spoke things over me, helped me kind of understand who I was, and I was blessed to run into Dominique Jones that saw some things in me that I had never seen before in myself and stuck in there with me because she saw who I was and not who I was going to be and not who I was at the moment. So I had a lot of these tangible, verbal confirmations around me kind of telling me, man, you're great. You're going to be great. You have this gifting. You have this talent. You're a people person. Man, you're not going to be a failure. This is not the end for you. Your job and what you're doing right now is not the end. I had all these things coming at me that were positive things. Would you agree? But at the same time, even with God speaking into me and me hearing his word and seeing his word and him telling me what he's telling about me, I still had this constant battle within myself. Who am I? I don't feel like I fit what these people are saying about me. I don't feel like I fit what God is saying about me right now. I feel like I am who I am today, right here. I'm not connecting with this future tense of who I am. Has anybody ever felt that before? Some of you guys might be in there right now. Somebody might be telling, man, you're gonna be a business owner. What? Never owned a business. I don't know the first thing about. There's things that we are struggling with, wrestling with on a day-to-day basis. Even as Christians sitting in this church, still wrestling with identity. Day-to-day battle. Can I tell you some of the things I wrestle with? Insecurity. I can't do this. I don't have what it takes to do this. I'm not qualified to do this. I don't have any background in this. I don't know. I'm not as good as such and such. I don't have what he has. I don't have what she has. I'm not comfortable. I face it all the time. Lack. Well, I don't have enough. I don't have enough to do it. I don't have enough in me to push forward. I don't have enough in me to keep going. Laziness. Man, I just don't feel like it. Anybody ever felt like that? I just don't feel like it. I'm lazy. My wife will tell you, I'm lazy. So I'm a procrastinator. I get lazy. I battle with these things. Doubt. I don't agree with what you're telling about me. I don't. Somebody may say something to you that's just way off, and they see something super great in you, and they tell you, and then you don't believe it. That's called doubt. Anybody ever felt that before? Fear. I'm scared. I'm just scared. I'm afraid of the new thing. I'm afraid of the new life. I'm afraid of this new person, this new persona that God is speaking over me, that my friend is seeing in me and discerning me. I'm afraid of that because it's new territory. It's uncharted. I've never put my hands on that. That's scary. Sin. Man, I'm just comfortable in my sin. All these things are things that the man you're looking at today battles with. Everything up there is in me. And I know I'm not the only one. And what that does for me is it creates distractions. It creates attacks. You know what it attacks? It attacks my identity. It attacks who I am. It attacks who I'm supposed to be. And it, at times it prevents me from receiving the full life that God has for me. And I guarantee you I'm not the only one in the room. I'm not the only one in the room. That may be you today. And the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, God himself is wanting to speak something to you today and say, today that can end. Today that can break off. Today is a day you can start a journey of learning who you are in me. This is the struggle that I see, and this is a struggle that I faced. And if you can relate, you can say, hey, man, I like engaging. I like you guys to talk to me. Don't just sit there and look at me the whole service, you know what I mean? Because the more you interact with me, the faster I can get through it, because my adrenaline is going to pump, your adrenaline is going to pump, and we're going to fly through this thing. Listen, this is the thing that I face and the things that I'm sure somebody in the room is facing. You can be saved and receive salvation and come to the knowledge of Christ and be at church, be at Wednesday night Bible study. You can go on mission trips. You can do all these different things. And you can sit right here in the presence of God and still have an identity crisis going on in life. We can still not know who we are. Because the word of God says that when we become and receive Christ, when we receive Christ and come into the knowledge and understanding who he is, he said, old things have passed away, right? And behold, you become a what? So y'all know, a new creature, a new creation, right? What is a new creation? Well, the first word of that says is it's new. That means it's new to you. It's new to everybody else. It's uncharted territory. We've never done it. Who is this new person? Who is this new person that I am now? The first thing that we end up doing, though, is what? Man, I got to stop sinning. Man, you start focusing on actions. I got to stop sinning. I got to stop drinking. I got to stop smoking. Got to stop clubbing. Got to stop lying. Got to stop cheating. Got to stop blah, 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 blah. I got to stop. 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 What is that called? Works. Works. Ephesians 2 and 8 says that it's by grace that we're saved, not through works that we can take credit. You can't fix yourself up enough to earn this identity that God already had for you. We cannot do it. What's supposed to happen is, this is just revelation for me, and I'm glad I finally found it and it clicked. We're supposed to go on a self-discovery journey to say, who am I now? This new creation. What has happened is, and I'm not going to guess anybody's age in the house because that would be very inappropriate and I'll probably get stoned before I come out of here. But listen, man, there's been X amount of years, right? X is your number, however old you are. Before either now or before you came to Christ, it's been X amount of years that your parents, culture, yourself, music, movies, fashion, peer pressure, marriage, what else? I mean, it's countless. All these things have shaped an identity for us for X amount of years until we met Christ or where we are now. It has shaped and molded us into who we are, experiences, failures, victories. It shaped an identity for us that we hold on to and we love it. We gravitated to it. But then the struggle comes in is that God starts coming in, and he starts saying something different than what we've been living for the past 30, 40 years. And now we're confused. Wait, what? I was a construction worker. And now you're telling me that I'm supposed to own a construction business, or I'm supposed to start something new way out of the realm of what I am? Or I was a loner all my life. I didn't like being around people. And now you're telling me I need to be in community? Now you're telling me I need to get married? I didn't want to get. Now you're telling me, and then that becomes a what? A battle. Because now you have to say, either I'm going to take my own route, or I'm going to trust what God is saying and try his way. I'm going to get to my key scripture in just a minute, but I want to tell you this. A lot of times we hear preach. A lot of times we tell ourselves. A lot of times we hear people tell us that the demonic forces or Satan or the devil or spiritual influences, they just want to get you to sin. And that's what you're battling, right? You're battling that temptation to sin. I don't want to sin. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do this. I'm going to stop. And then you feel the pressures of wanting to do it. That's just flesh, and most of the times it's ourselves. The real battle and what the demonic influences and what the spiritual influences that are antichrist, what they want you to do is they want you to forget or never ever encounter your true identity. Because they know if you're being everything that God wants you to be, they don't have their hands on you. It's not about our sins or about our mistakes or about that. It's about him or them or whoever, however you want to call it or name it, them not wanting you to come and start walking in the fullness of your life. Because if you start walking in that, you're going to change the world. You're going to change the room. Families are going to be changed. Culture is going to be shifted. Everybody's going to be flocking to the feet of Jesus when you start walking in the fullness of your calling. But if he can get you distracted, if he can get you comfortable, if he can get you stuck in religion and religious practices and not going on this self-discovery journey of figuring out why I look the way I look, why I talk the way I talk, why are my emotions wired like this? Why do I like these things? Why does my voice sound like this? Why am I talented in this? Why do I connect with people like this? It's for a reason, and we're going to talk about that reason right now in my key scripture, Ephesians 2 and 10. I'm going to read it from the Amplified version. For we are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art. Somebody say work of art. Created in Christ Jesus, reborn, that means a new creation, right? If you're reborn, that means there's something new going on, right? Reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used. For good works, somebody say good works, which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which he set so that we will walk in them, living the good life, somebody say good life, which he prearranged and made ready for us. How many people want to live the good life? Me too, man. Isn't that what the world is searching for? The whole world is searching for the good life. God prearranged it already for each one of us, and we are striving for the good life. And God said, man, before the foundations of the earth, man, I already had it worked out. You are a work of art to me. You are my masterpiece, and I have prearranged a good life, tailor-made, scripted, molded, shaped it, sculpted it specifically for you, and you. Everybody in the room, nobody's exempt. Don't matter your background, don't matter your failures, don't matter your mistakes, nothing. God has a specific tailor-made plan that's going to blow your mind, it's going to blow your heart, it's going to fulfill every void you have in your life. If we will find ourselves in him, if we can fight through the identity crisis and see what it is that he has for us, would you agree? Has anybody ever faced that before? I'll raise two hands up. I'm in it right now. Shoot, I'm facing it now. But we got to really understand and come to this understanding that if we don't know who we are and we're functioning outside of our original design, then we're kind of blowing it in a sense. I kind of liken it to this. Anybody have a refrigerator in their home? All right? Let's put those pictures up. What does a refrigerator do? Keeps things cold, right? The designer, the manufacturer created the refrigerator to do a specific thing, right? To keep things cold. What does the oven do? Heat stuffs up, cooks things, right? Prepares, it gets it ready to be eaten, right? So what would happen if the manufacturer made the refrigerator to keep things cold and the refrigerator is heating things up? There's a malfunction going on, right? There's a crisis going on. Something needs to be fixed. Something needs to be repaired because the design of the refrigerator was not built to heat things up. It was built to cool things down. Same for the refrigerator. Now, if you go home and all your ice is melting and your eggs are exploded and all that, what you gonna do? You're gonna say, I need to send this somewhere and get it repaired, refixed, or I need to get something new, right? So then why do we function in life, in arenas, in areas, being something that we're not supposed to be, and we know it, and we keep doing it without saying, I need to fix this. I need to go back to the manufacturer. I need to go back to God. I need to figure out my design and what I'm created to do so I can function properly and well and efficiently and do what I'm created to do instead of trying to be an oven when I'm a refrigerator. I'm not Pastor Joe. I'm not Pastor Travis. I'm not you. I don't have what you have. I can't mimic you. And for years of our lives, and I'll speak for myself, I've mimicked culture. I've mimicked the music I've listened to. I've mimicked my friends and peer pressure. I've mimicked things. I've saw things in church and tried to mimic it. And I'm like, man, I'm just doing this. That's not really me. That's because that's not my design. God has a different design for us. And when we start doing things that are not of us and not of our original DNA, we begin to just exist. And that's when that cycle of life goes around where you're like, man, is this what our life is? This sucks. Is this what the Christian life is about? This is whack. I had more fun when I was unsaved, wilding out, doing all the other crazy stuff. That's because we haven't found that identity. And God loves us too much. Somebody say too much. To sit back and let us keep existing. He don't want you to go through this identity crisis anymore. Today is the day. The buck stops here is what God's saying today for you, everybody in the house. You want to know why I know he loves us too much for that? Y'all go ahead and quote it for me. John 3:16. Y'all go ahead. Y'all know it. Y'all got it. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son, and this is why. So that no one need to be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. Everybody said, I want the good life. Well, that's what John 3:16 was about. Heaven is ours already. Heaven is supposed to be on earth. We're waiting to die so we can experience the good life. No, God wants to bring heaven right here in your life and in your heart today. He gave it up so you can have it. Destroyed means that, man, don't destroy your own life by doing stuff that you don't need to be doing. You're self-destructing at that point because you're mentally, emotionally, and spiritually destroying yourself because you're not walking in the identity I have for you beforehand. Ephesians 3:18, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, everybody in here, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep God's love is for you. Romans 8:38 says, and I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. We just sung that song, didn't we? Do you believe it? So if nothing can separate us, then today is a moment where you can say, no longer am I walking in or away from the purposes and plan that God has for me. I'm not going to be afraid no more because his love casts out all fear. So I'm coming to God with the hard questions. I'm not going to be religious about it. I'm not going to be buttoned up and suit up about it. God, who am I? I'm tired of this. This is not me. I need to know who I am so I can be all I'm called to be. Today it stopped, and God wants it to stop today. Most of the times in Christendom, I like to say that word, Christendom, all we hear about it when John 3:16 is we just hear, man, you were so bad. Man, you were so evil. Man, you sinned so much that God just had to get up off his throne. Dang, man. I mean, all right. Now, get up. Come on. Isn't that the story we hear? Man, I was so bad, and God had to come and just redeem me from my sins because I was just whack. I was a mess, right? Ain't that what we hear preached? What about Genesis? Is God love? Is that scripture? So his love didn't start at the cross, right? It started when he formed you in your mother's womb. In Genesis, it says this. Let me see. Let me get my scripture. Oh, there it is. Say, thank you, Lord. I wish I knew all the scriptures by heart like Pastor Joe, man. How much time I got? I'm sorry. Gina, Pastor, how much time? I want to make sure I'm timely. Okay, cool. I'm gonna be good. Genesis 1:27 says this. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Look around you. Look, go ahead, look. Look. You're looking at the images of God. You're looking at the love of God manifested in the flesh, in his image and likeness. That means if I'm in his image and his likeness, that means that the qualities, the attributes, the power, the understanding, the access to wisdom, The access to no fear, the no fear zone, it's in me. It's in my DNA. It's past my skin. It's all up in here. All up in here. Genesis 2 and 7 says, then the Lord formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed the breath of life in the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. You see, in Genesis, the word of God says that he spoke everything else into existence, right, by his words. Is that correct? So everything we see in nature and space, everything around us, even the air we can't see, he spoke it into existence. But when it came to you, he came down and said, you know what? This is a special thing right here. Let me put my hands on that because this is special and near and dear to me. And I want to tailor make this in the image of me, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. There's a difference between you and everybody else because God specifically came and made you, brother. And he put everything that compels your life and puts your life together, he put it in you from the beginning out of love because he loved you so much. And it didn't have nothing to do with sin at that point. It had everything to do with love. Failure wasn't involved in that. Sin wasn't involved with that. Mistakes wasn't involved with that. Love was involved with that. Purpose was involved with that. Vision was involved with that. Power was involved with that. And we have to start seeing ourselves like that and not as defeated, visionless, powerless, fearful, insecure. No, God has a perfect plan for you, and it's not just sitting in this seat on church every Sunday being confused about who you are. That is not it, and that's not going to be it. We're in God's family now, man. The whole cross thing was about him bringing us back into his family and saying, hey, come get this inheritance, man. You don't have to be confused about who you are anymore. You're not lost. You're not broken. You're whole. You're made in my image. Come back to me so I can give you everything you've been longing for when you ran away. Who's ready to come back? Who's ready to receive what God has? I am. I'm tired of feeling inadequate and lost and confused. I want it. I want God, show me who I am today, please. I'm sick of it. I grew up in Pittsburgh, Texas, man, country town, no resource. Anybody know what Pittsburgh, Texas is? You probably don't. There's probably five people in here know where it is. Nothing in Pittsburgh but gas stations and banks. You just drive through there, fill up, and get on out. You know what I mean? You get some hot links or something if anybody knows anything about that. I grew up in culture, man, hip-hop, you know, hip-hop influence, man. Grew up around my cousin listening to rock and roll all the time. Grew up around my peers, peer pressure. We didn't have nothing to do, so we found things to do. Most of the times, I mean, it was some good stuff we did. We played games and stuff like that, but most times we end up figuring out little sneaky stuff to do and getting into trouble. So I grew up, I had a, you know, pretty standard American upraising. I wasn't in church. I wasn't necessarily church. My mother knew the Lord, but I wasn't in church every Sunday. I wasn't in the church culture, so the scriptures and all that didn't really have an influence in my life. Everything else had an influence in my life, and from the point of being an adolescent all the way up until my early 20s, I was influenced by everything around me, drugs, sex, alcohol, everything the TV and music tells us, I was influenced by it. Everything my peers and my friends were into, I was into it. So if they were selling drugs or partying or clubbing or doing all these different things, guess what? I was right there doing it, and all the while, I was like, this is cool. But dang, I don't know if this is really me. End up going to jail for a fight I had in public. Light bulbs start going off. I said, wait a minute. What am I doing in here? This is stupid. I'm being jailed. What am I doing in jail? I'm not a jail dude. I'm not this hard. I'm not a thug, you know, whatever I claim I'm being. I've been through some. I've been shot at a couple times. That's part of my testimony. I've been shot at a few times. I've been drunk driving back home from parties and clubs and not have accidents, not kill myself or kill somebody else. I've been high and been in places where I could have been robbed or anything like that and nothing happened to me. I've been in good places and had lots of fun. I wasn't just no crazy, you know, hardcore gangster dude or nothing like that, but I dibbled and dabbled in some foolishness, and it got to the point where light bulbs started going off. I'm like, this is stupid. This not even me. I started seeing that my actions were affecting everybody around me. Being unfaithful to women and stuff like that was creating trust issues and anger issues, and everything around me was being affected by who I was being and who I wasn't being. And I said, God, man, I got to start changing some things. I stole my mom's Fred Hammond CD. I don't know if anybody knows who Fred Hammond is. But I was like, I ain't got no God music in my car. I need to get some God music. Maybe that'll help me. So I stole my mom's CD. Man, I tell you, that CD ministered to me so much. He had a song about there is no greater love. That no matter how far I get away from God, that there's no greater love, that he will reach down and get me right where I am. Man, it broke me, man. And I said, God, you know what? I need this. I said, Lord, send somebody. I need the next woman I meet. I want to be faithful to her. I want to do right. I didn't say I wanted to marry her, man. Like, but I said, I just want to do right. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't like, I thought I was going to be the last one getting married. I was like, I just want to do right for a change. You know what I mean? And then here comes Dominique Jones coming up. Have a relationship with God. Beautiful. Fine. She walked in 24-hour fitness. Hey, we keeping it real, right? I'm real. You know what I mean? I ain't finna play around. But listen, man, I was working at 24-hour fitness, and I was working at Coca-Cola. So 24-hour fitness was my part-time job. She came in from Louisiana. Hurricane Katrina brought her here, and she was going to school and getting some things together, and she come in to get a part-time job. I see her. She fine. She bad. I'm not necessarily saved yet, so I'm still on my mission. I'm going to get her. You know what I mean? Like, that's sold up. And when I approached her, I immediately noticed that there was something different about her. The way she carried herself, the way she, her mannerisms, all that, all those different types of things that men notice. And after a day or two, I noticed that she had a Bible with her. And I was like, okay, wait a minute. So she's probably a Christian. This is something I've been kind of missing in my life is that. And she had a legitimate relationship with God where she said she was a Christian. She wasn't just living wild and loose and just saying, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian, but she's still just living a crazy life. She was really modeling what having a relationship with God was like and really living it out. And it helped me kind of understand what it could be for me, and it attracted me. And it made me man up a bit. I couldn't come at her with the foolishness, with the stupid stuff, with the arrogance. It made me shape up, not because of her being Dominique, but because of her setting a standard. And me saying, if I want her, I have to rise up. And it led to me getting married within, 9 months? We ended up getting married in 9 months. She saw some things in me, man. She saw the spirit and persona of David on me being a worshiper. I never did music before in my life, ever. Ever. I didn't grow up musically doing anything, rapping, singing, nothing like that. She saw it. Remember I said there's people around you that can see things in you? She saw it, and she said, that's who you are, not the arrogant clown that you're trying to be, but the king that you are. And I trust God that the king that he showed me you are is the king you're going to be. And she stuck with me. Well, we got married, and guess what? We separated within a couple years. What was it, a year or two? Separated. It was my fault because I didn't know who I was. I was operating in 22, 23 years of my life. This is who I am. This is how I am. This is how I do things. That wasn't who I was supposed to be for her because that wasn't my true identity, and it pushed her away. So we got married and ended up getting separated, and we separated for a year, and I backslid. I said, man, forget God, forget marriage, forget all this crap. I'm done. I had a better life before that. I had an identity crisis. That's why I was doing these things. So I pushed her away, pushed God away, went back to my old life, and it was 10 times worse, and it led me back into my closet in my one-bedroom apartment, laying on the floor, crying out to God, saying, Lord, I done tried everything. I done tried to join the military, the Navy, the Army. I done tried to get other jobs. I done tried going back to excessive drinking, excessive smoking, sex, lust. I went back to all my old stuff, and it didn't fix anything. And now I'm back here on the floor crying, saying, Lord, show me who I am. I'm confused. He said, you're right where I want you. Now you stop trying to figure it out on your own. You stop trying to make your own way. You stop being arrogant. You've humbled yourself. You come asking me the real questions. Now I can give you some real answers and not the religious stuff you've been doing for the past 2 or 3 years that led you to this place. Brock, you are a musician, and you never tried it before. But I wired you to love people and like people and be the life for the crowd and life for the party and to be able to talk to anybody at any circumstance is because I want you to share your life through the gift of music, speaking, and serving community. Brock, I want to take you around the world so that you can pour into other people and build up other people so that they can recognize that your story is their story. Brock, I want you to love your wife the way I created her to be loved because you don't know how to do it. I made her. So who knows best how to love her and make her feel fulfilled? Son, I do. Stop trying to do it your own way and try my way by asking me how to love her. You can't come at this thing. This is God talking to me. You can't come at this thing in your own way. You got to come at it my way so that you can be fulfilled. And from that day forward, I said, Lord, I know this is you talking. This ain't me making up this stuff. I just know it is. I know it. And he said, bro, you got to man up. It's time to stop jacking around, man, and be who you are. And I had a choice. I could either lay there on the ground, get up, and go back to the old stupid stuff I was doing and making the same route, or I could say, God, I'm going to try it your way because you said this is who I am. Well, we're here 10 years later. Fulfilled Transformers Movement has taken us to 7 countries, building people up, building community up, serving people, building up young adults, pouring into them vision, passion, purposes. Saint Music has taken me around the world. I performed on huge platforms doing hip-hop and leading worship and acoustic soul and poetry, things that I never grew up doing before up until that point of 22, 23 years old. Never before I had an ounce of inclination that I was going to be doing any of that stuff. But God had Ephesians 2 and 10 already planted that he had something prepared for me ahead of time that if I had just took some time to ask him who I really am, he would have showed me. But it took me going through all the bull crap to get me to a place where I started really asking him who I was and was broken and honest that he did it. Romans 8 and 28 says that we know God causes everything, all things to work together for the good of them that love him. So everything, young and old, no matter where you are, everything that brought you to this place here on Sunday morning at 10:07, right here, right now, mistakes, identity crisis, failures, successes, everything that you have done or have been a part of, God worked it all together for good today for you to hear the message today that says that if you don't really know your giftings, your talent, the vision I have for you, the purposes I have for you, and you're just kind of just sitting in the seat, just listening to Pastor every Sunday, just kind of just getting by, he said, there's more for you today. You don't have to keep warning yourself about, I don't like myself. I don't like my skin. I don't like that I'm a little fat right here. I don't like that I'm short or I'm tall. I can't sing as well as Tanya. I can't play the instrument as well as these guys. I can't. God said, don't worry about that because I got something for you. If you would ask me today, who am I? Ask yourself that question right now. Who am I? I want you to ask yourself this as well. Does God agree with who I am right now? Ask yourself, does God agree right now, everything that makes me who I am and what I'm doing, does God agree with the position in life that I am in right now? Does he agree with it? And if the answer is no, and if he says no, that means that you need to be at this altar or standing up with your hands lifted saying, God, I need you to show me who I am and what I'm supposed to be doing with my life so you can fulfill me. And if there are things in you or around you or things that you are involved in that is preventing you from growing in your relationship with God, then you need to ask the Spirit of God to give you the power to get those things out of the way so that he can tell you who you are. I want to invite Pastor Joe to come up, and I want to invite you to respond to these questions. Just for a minute, and we're not going to labor with it alone, but I want you to respond that if the Spirit of God, if something that was said or spoken that you can relate to or that pricked your heart or that says, man, that's me, I'm in that position right now, or that's me, I've been in it for a while, I've been wrestling with this thing, and I don't really know, and I want it, I want you to respond by just standing up and just lifting your hands and saying, Lord, hey, I want to start this journey today. Who am I? Show me the deeper things so I can live this fulfilled life and I can stop just getting by. God didn't send Jesus for you to just get by. He sent Jesus so you can change the world, change your family, change your friend, change everything around you, and let you live a fulfilled life. So I want to invite Pastor Joe to come up, and I'm going to invite you to just respond. And if you happen to be in the house and you never said yes to the salvation that Jesus provided, this is a chance for you to respond to that because that starts the journey too. Say yes to Jesus as your Lord and Savior and receive him. And let's start this journey together. Amen? Amen.